I'm Kurt Benkert, and this is Pocket Presence, powered by Sleeper. What's up, gang? We're back with another episode of Pocket Presence this week, but this week's going to be a little bit different. Tyler's out of office. We went to Twitter. We grabbed some questions, some Q&A, some mailbags, and we're going to talk fantasy football. If you're anything like me, your fantasy draft is slowly, kind of fastly approaching, and it's right around the corner, and I started doing all my mock drafts. And I started noticing some things, started to see players that are in maybe a little too high of slots than I would expect. Some guys that are a little bit sleepers, some diamonds in the rough. And we're going to go through and talk ball. But we have a lot of questions this week that we got from Twitter. Also, if you guys don't already follow Pocket Presence on Twitter or my own account on Twitter, you can go there. We're going to have a lot of content pumping out in real time there. But let's hop right into this. We're going to start with some of these questions and get this thing rolling. First question is a really good one. This is there anyone on the Packers worth drafting outside of Jordan Love? For me, I'm going to say one guy that I saw that actually got in my mock draft yesterday, Josh Jacobs. He will be a stud this year. He will get a lot of touches. That O-line is going to be nice to run behind. He'll have some play action ops. And I actually think he's going to get some more receptions than people anticipate. Jordan Love likes dumping it down to the backs, to the tight ends. And it's not just going to be all about hitting Wicks and Dobbs and Watson all downfield. Jaden Reed reverses. I think that Josh Jacobs is going to have some real value. I think he's going to fit really well with that offense and that scheme. And their defense on the other side of the ball, this is something to keep note of. I think the defense being better is going to allow the offense having more opportunities to get new possessions. That defense last year did not create turnovers. So think of everything their production-wise looked last year. The receivers weren't so bad. The running back wasn't so bad. Like Aaron Jones popped off from time to time, even though he was injured a lot of the year. This year will look different. The offense will have more opportunities to touch the ball. And I think that Josh Jacobs is going to be a steal. I also have been finding Wicks super, super, super late in the draft. And I really like him as a stash. Romeo Dobbs is going to get his red zone targets. He's going to get his one-on-one ops. But Dontavian Wicks is the guy that can go the distance on any given play. And he's also a massive third down target. One of the highest win percentages in the league versus man coverage, and that is going to matter the deeper we get into the year. And as all of you guys know, fantasy championship runs happen real late in the year. I think Wicks is a guy to stash. This coming in from Mr. Dill, I think that was his name, asking about Mike Evans. So Mike Evans right now is sitting at ADP 29.9. Mr. Consistent has around, 8 to 10 touchdowns a year, over 1,000 yards every single year. I don't really expect that to change. I'd be stupid to think that that's going to change. However, I think his upside, like his ceiling, is never going to be this, 1,400 yards, 16 touchdowns kind of guy. They got different weapons in Tampa Bay. They have a nice young running back to come complement their other running back. They have guys that I think they can spread the ball around to. And Mike Evans, in my opinion, is not worth that reach at ADP 29.9. I would rather have a guy that maybe won't be as consistent, but has a higher ceiling. Or in that spot, I'd honestly rather grab a running back. I think if you're looking for consistency with not the highest ceilings, you have to go running back in these positions where at the receiver room, you'll take a guy that'll get you 8 points here and there, but you want a guy that'll pop off for 20, 23, 18 points week in, week out, every other week, whatever. I think that Mike Evans' consistency is the same consistency you should go find in a running back in the same slot. Now we're talking tight ends this year. Great question just came in. Which is the better tight end pick, Laporta or McBride? What I want to talk about with tight ends is the opportunity cost. Some tight ends you have to draft higher than others. Some are more regarded as receivers and others are not, right? Trey McBride right now is going ADP 48, while Sam Laporta is going ADP 30. That discrepancy is massive. And you have to think, if you're taking Sam Laporta at 30, what's the other opportunity cost of all the other positions that you're giving up in that same spot? Guys around there are looking like Deebo Samuel, Mike Evans, Jalen Hurts, Nico Collins, Jalen Waddle, Rashad White, who I love, DJ Moore, Cooper Kupp. Like, you've got to think that I don't think Laporta is going to give you the production at tight end that you can't find later down the draft. Not to mention, you look at a guy like Trey McBride. Trey McBride had so many receptions last year, it was disgusting. He was fed like a receiver, and I don't expect that to taper off much. And you can get him a whole round later, maybe even a round and a half later, depending on your league size. You have got to go with value there. And while we're talking about drafting guys in certain positions, keep this one to note. Evan Ingram, last few weeks of the season, was getting almost 10 targets, if not more, a game for 4 or 5 straight weeks. Evan Ingram is a sneaky tight end that is treated like a receiver in their offense that also lost a receiver this offseason, maybe 2. Evan Ingram, sneaky pick. I would wait for a tight end. Do not reach. Aaron is in a keeper league, and Aaron can only keep Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, or Amon-Ra St. Brown. He can pick 2 of those guys. Whoo! Keeper League, Keeper League. What will it be? I'm going to let go of Derrick Henry, mainly because I think Lamar Jackson has higher upside for the next 3 to 5 years. Keeper leagues you can't think of right now. And again, if you feel like your roster's in a place right now to win a championship, maybe you make different decisions. I do think that Derrick Henry this year is going to have more value than Lamar does versus other quarterbacks when you're talking about opportunity cost. Lamar is a great player, but the Ravens win games pretty handedly, and he doesn't play often in the fourth quarter in meaningful snaps. He's not slinging the ball around. He's not really needed in the fourth quarter oftentimes. But with all that to be said, you cannot get rid of Amon-Ra. He's going to get his. The Detroit Lions absolutely love him and they feature him. He is a stud and is going to get a lot of points per reception. I think you got to get rid of Derrick Henry a year too soon, only because it's a keeper league. Keep Lamar, but man, would it be nice to keep Derrick Henry too. I think you got to let Derrick Henry go. There's other running backs that you can draft. Lamar, one of these guys in a keeper league. I don't know. I think you got to keep him. Next question. Is Josh Allen's supporting cast enough to keep him in the top three for scoring? I'm going to say yes. I think that Josh Allen is enough to keep himself in the top three for scoring. I also really love Curtis Samuel. I think Curtis Samuel is going to have a breakout year. I think he's really good. I think he's an upgrade with his play style and how it matches with Josh Allen. I also think that Cook's going to cook in the receiving game. And I think Shakir is going to be a sneaky player this year. He came onto the scene pretty late last year. And I think he's going to carry over into this year. Oh, this is the best question of all time. This is an easy one. Who is the best keeper of the three? Kyren Williams, Bijan Robinson, or Saquon Barkley? You keep Bijan until the wheels fall off, baby. He is going to be a stud. He is my RB1 this year. Bijan is my RB1 over CMC, over Breece Hall. Both are going to have monster years, by the way, but Bijan is going to be a little bit different. Has the easiest schedule in the NFL, plays indoors, gets a lot of burn, has a quarterback that will check it down. I'm excited to see Bijan eat this year. And I also think that everyone around him playing better, meaning a quarterback that's willing to sling it, Kyle Pitts that's going to be clearing out coverage, Drake London who's going to be going top shelf. Bijan's going to have more space to cook underneath. So keep him in your lineup, keep him in your keeper league, and let Bijan cook. Ooh, which one is the better stack? Bijan and Drake London or Bijan and Kyle Pitts? Give me Kyle Pitts. Give me Bijan and Kyle Pitts, mainly because I think you're going to find another receiver that doesn't have as many good players around him in a similar spot that will get more targets, lead to more burn, etc. I think Drake London's going to have a monster year, but I also think they don't need Drake London to have a 1,200-yard receiving year with 10 touchdown year for the Falcons to be dominant, win their division, and maybe lock up a first-round seed. Think of it this way. The Falcons are going to be running the shit out of the ball, and play action off of that typically goes to tight ends first. You'll get some strike routes, some out routes here and there by the receivers, but if you can be cooking with your running back downhill and your tight end over the top, that's a 2-on-1 game on linebackers that I think the Falcons are going to play extremely well, and I'm excited to see how it plays out this year. Ricky Bobby coming in hot off the press. Pick two for a keeper league. Justin Jefferson, Jonathan Taylor, or Jahmyr Gibbs? Give me Justin Jefferson because I don't care who's a quarterback, he's going to eat. He put up 200 yards twice, I believe, with Nick Mullins last year. He will be just fine and he will be getting fed. And give me Jahmyr Gibbs over Jonathan Taylor. And I don't think this keeper is going to play out over the next year, maybe two, to be beneficial. But I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to give you 4 to 5 years. I think Jonathan Taylor might get 2 to 3 more years of high production. I also love what Jahmyr Gibbs does in the pass game. He is special out of the backfield. And he's got a quarterback that's going to sling it to him out of the backfield. So give me Jahmyr Gibbs. Give me Justin Jefferson. We like PPR and we like points, baby. Oh my God. Who will play more games this year? Aaron Rodgers or Christian Watson? Christian Watson will be not playing more games than Aaron Rodgers this year because Aaron Rodgers isn't going to miss a game this year. They might play the same amount of games this year, but Aaron Rodgers, guys, if you're not buying stock on Aaron Rodgers right now, you need to. I'm watching things that he's doing in this one Jets drive in these training camp clips that I know mean Aaron is so fucking dialed in right now. He looks like he's in mid-season form and he's out with a vengeance. And I'll leave it at that. And you guys can save this clip, watch this play out. This is not going to be a year where Aaron Rodgers hands the ball off 20 to 30 times a game, throws for 180 game, 1 to 2 touchdowns, no picks. This is not going to be that year. The Jets will be slinging the fucking rock. I'm seeing it. They have players to sling the rock. They have a defense that allows them to be riskier slinging the rock. The Jets are for real. Aaron Rodgers is back, and I would not be shocked to see the Jets in the Super Bowl this year. Save this clip.
for February.
We have another question coming in hot. Puka Nacua or Van Jefferson? Van who?
I'm just kidding. I like Van Jefferson, but not for fantasy. It's Puka, baby. Come on.
Will I be doing sleeper picks for you casuals at tail?
Yes, we will be doing sleeper picks. I will be doing spreads. I will be doing straight ups. I'll tell you my favorite props. And then I might even sprinkle a little bit here and there to tell you when a live bet is on the way.
A live bet. I'm not sure if I can say that, but we're going to say it. I'm going to tell you all the action I like this year, and you'll be able to follow along everywhere. Who has the best chance of taking QB1 from Josh Allen this year?
You know what I really think? And this might be spicy. This might be a really spicy take. It might be Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams fantasy-wise. I think it's going to be Jaden Daniels, mainly because Jaden Daniels, how he looked just running the ball in preseason, he looks faster than everybody on the field, which we typically know. But if Jaden Daniels can put together any bit of a performance with the receivers that he had, that Sam Howell led the league in passing for like 12 weeks. If Jaden Daniels can do that plus run, Jaden Daniels might be a fantasy godsend for people this year, being tainted by the image of the Redskins of the past. But now he's with the Washington Commanders. And they're a new team, new legacy, new offense, new everything, new head coach. Jaden Daniels is going to have the CJ Stroud effect for the Commanders. And I think he's going to be a fantasy steal. Chargers backfield, my feel there. I don't have one. I think both their running backs in the backfield will get burned because Harbaugh is leading the way. I saw a stat that said that the Chargers were 30th in the league in dropbacks the last time that Harbaugh and the coach they have now were together in 10 years ago. I just don't love anything fantasy related about the Chargers unless you're going to steal Herbert late in the draft as a stash. That's all I'm going to say. Biggest breakout year between these starting receivers: Chris Olave, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, or Drake London? Man, you know what? I'm going to say one of those guys is more talented than the rest. Malik Nabers is, in my opinion, the most talented out of that group. However, he's got Danny Dizzle throwing him the ball. If we saw anything in preseason, Danny's going to give him ops for sure. Might get picked, might get caught, might be a touchdown, might be, who knows, but Nabers is going to get his ops. I also think Drake London's going to get his ops, but they're going to be more calculated, probably a little more accurate. Then you have Marvin Harrison Jr. I have not seen enough to know how they're going to use Marvin Harrison Jr. this year. However, I am high on the Cardinals, and I know people wanted to hate me for it, but if you look at the Cardinals, they won games last year that they had no business in, and they looked like a competent team, and their entire team was young and with a first-year head coach, and it looked just kind of sloppy. They lost games that they shouldn't have, won games they shouldn't have. If the Cardinals corral it in at all and know how to use Marvin Harrison this year, that might be a really good outlet. And then Olave, I'm staying so far away from the Saints, mainly because I don't trust them, mainly because I've received death threats from their fans, mainly because I just don't like anything to do with that organization at this point in time. But Olave, I think, is a great player. I'm going to go breakout year for Nabers. I think he's just going to get fed, and I think he's going to have to get fed for that offense to have any life. So give me Nabers. Ooh, this is a great question. What is the importance of a veteran tight end like Zach Ertz for a young QB like Jaden Daniels? A veteran tight end, my favorite thing about it is that they see a route drawn on paper, on your playbook, on your install sheets, and they're not going to run it exactly like a stick figure. They're going to run it to get open. They're going to use their body, use their leverage. They're going to create more space for themselves that young tight ends don't necessarily do from an early step. And also for a young QB, it is so important to have a tight end that they can count on, because those are the easiest completions you can get. You can get your stick routes, you can get your flat routes, you can get your sail routes, your inside posts, all of that. You need that as a young quarterback. And the ones that thrive are the ones that have tight ends they can rely on. So that is a play from the GM, I'm assuming, maybe even the head coach with the Commanders, bringing in a guy like Ertz to help speed things up. And the thing with tight ends too is they have to be, tight ends are one of the smartest guys in the field most of the time, because they have to know all the route concepts and all the blocking schemes. So they're kind of like the closest thing to an extension of the quarterback on the field, because they need to know everything of both playbooks. The run game and the way that it's coached, and the pass game and the way it's coached, are kind of like two playbooks, and Zach Ertz will be able to help out, fill in the gaps for wherever Jaden needs help with. Friend of the show, Olamide Zaccheaus, getting a nice bump in the roster spot with the Commanders trading Jahan Dotson to the Eagles. That's what that means. Last question for this show, and I really like this episode. This is going to be something we probably have to do more often, at least in a segment. Is the juice worth the squeeze for Harrison, Rome, and Nabers at their ADP? So right now we have Marvin Harrison, ADP 14. Hate that. Hate that spot. Then we have Nabers at ADP 42. 42 is not bad. Like, I like Neighbors. 42 is not bad. I'll say it's not bad. And then we have Odunze. Odunze is at 73. I think that Odunze at 73, I like-ish, but I still think I'd rather have a Chris Godwin a little bit later. I'd rather have maybe even a Rashee Rice, especially with the way that that Chiefs offense is looking this offseason. I think that they're all a little bit too high, and they're having like that rookie fog effect on people that are drafting. Like, they want to get the next big thing. I also think that ADP wise, people that are drafting for dynasty and keepers are probably skewing this ADP a little bit more than we should probably take into consideration for. A guy like Odunze has more value in a dynasty league than a guy like maybe Scary Terry. So let's just keep that in mind as we're drafting, but I think that is a good question. I would not really grab any of those guys as early as they are. I would rather trade for them a couple of years from now, but you got to do what you got to do if you're going to be starting a dynasty league. And if you think that a guy like him is more important than a guy like George Pickens or Keenan Allen, and you're playing the long game, then that's the decision that you have to make. Just use caution with these young guys, man. There's so many things that play into a good rookie year that the odds are stacked against them. We're going to wrap it up with that right there. I love this section. I love this segment. I love how we structured this. This was a lot of fun. And I love being able to answer all these questions because I get a lot of DMs. I get a lot of DMs on all platforms, a lot of comments, and I just can't get to them all. But I love that this is a way that I'm sure I'm going to be answering questions that multiple people have that some people didn't even feel like they wanted to ask. So hopefully we can use this as a tool moving forward. If you guys liked this style of episode, like, comment, subscribe, do all the things, show us some love. We got some really cool giveaways and some first time deposits coming up, the matches. We have the redeposit matches coming up with Sleeper. So we have a lot of Sleeper action coming in hot. I appreciate you guys. See you next episode.